Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you well this morning.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, we're fine here in Pakistan. How's everything in South Africa?
Alhamdulillah, all is going well. Today we discuss a few issues, inshallah. And the first thing that you want to speak on is this year with the Taliban. I've seen that they've released a beautiful statement and you've sent it to me. So one in Arabic and one in English. So I'll just read the statement so the listeners can benefit as well. It is Islamic Emirates statement on the starvation and oppression of women and children in Gaza. And it says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So why I found statement, or especially the title, to be so interesting is because you'll see on the news, even today, it's always this kind of titles that they choose on their websites that is to make the Taliban seem like they are abusing their children, abusing their wives, abusing their women folk. And this kind of mindset then to be drilled in the general public. So you will see on the news today, it is the United Nations expressed concern just yesterday about the Taliban's arrest of Afghan women and girls for their alleged failure to comply with authorities' dress code. Now, this word alleged, they use it in the news, and I see Mufti Saab also uses it at times when alleged, because at times you want to play safe, so you don't know if this is going this way or that way. So they allege these things, claim these things, but is it really true? And is it really the way they are portraying it to be? Because they will present images of Taliban walking with guns and making them seem to be so brutal and disruptive and killing people and just like going wild. But far from the truth, we can see the real safety of their women folk, the rape cases, and you compare it to the US where skirts and the rest is common even for your children to go into school. I don't just say the US, but I say here in South Africa, we saw it in our schools, and Muslim females then had to struggle and say no, they want to wear the grey pants because they cannot expose their legs. But all of these things, so when you want to go for this which is pure lifestyle, and just the way the Quran Sharif is setting the role models straight for the Ummah, then they have a big problem with this and they will say this is oppressive in nature. So I found this title to be really impressive, to say Islamic Emirates statement on the starvation and oppression of women and children in Gaza. So it says a lot, because the people of Gaza the women folk of Gaza do not seem to be women. And I don't think, even according to Israelis, being an animal means anything, because we'll speak about this just later in the program, of how they oppress animals as well. So whether you are animal, whether you are, nothing means anything to them. That's how their hearts have become. And that's how hardened it's become, in fact. So women and children here in Palestine don't mean anything. There's no rights for them. So I just say a few portions here of this brave statement. It is with profound concern that we, meaning the Taliban, witness the ongoing suffering of Muslims in Gaza, Palestine, who remain under the relentless assaults and violence carried out by Israeli Zionist forces. In recent days, hundreds of thousands of civilians have been subjected to acute food and water shortages, and as well widespread illness and continuous bombardment. The end of it is quite interesting as well, that otherwise we will have no justification before Allah and all will be held accountable and face the severity of His divine punishment. We earnestly pray to Allah to open a path of relief and rescue for the Muslims in Gaza and to bring down His punishment upon the Zionist aggressors and their backers. A punishment so clear and overwhelming that it serves as a lesson to the all of humanity. Amin, Ya Rabbal Alameen. This was the letter, and it's dated the 24th of Muharram. So that was 24th of Muharram, 1447. And of course, English date, it was the 20th. So it was just now recently. Mufti Saab, just you can add in your valuable comments on this, inshallah.
Yeah, obviously is a good start. I hope it doesn't end there.
Yes.
Okay. I hope that they, as a government, they contact other Muslim governments and decide to take some military action, or at least a threat of military action. Really, that it doesn't help. It doesn't help the people in Gaza much.
Yeah.
But it's symbolic. Okay. It's just symbolic. But it's not enough. I'm hoping that they come together with the OIC or other majority Muslim countries and at least give a threat of military action if this doesn't stop. It's sickening that it continues like this. You have the choice of going for food and getting shot, or not going for food and dying of starvation over there. So that's not a choice at all. And we're just sitting back, you know. At least Afghanistan, they wrote a letter. They made an announcement, but no one else is doing that. But again, that is not enough. Us common people, us the Awam, we have to get on our knees at Tahajjud, okay, and make dua. As Imam Shafi, rahmatullah alayhi, said, that the dua at Tahajjud is an arrow that always hits the mark. So that's the time when Allah is coming down to the third heaven and first heaven and saying, who needs something, who wants something from me. But we all, the common people, we have to do that. But our governments have to at least threaten military action. That's what I feel. The letter is nice, like I said, symbolic, but it clearly is not enough.
Exactly, yes. There's got to be some action attached to it. I saw something inspiring yesterday also, and this was in Egypt. An Egyptian youth in the Netherlands locked the Egyptian embassy, so they feel what's it like to be besieged and to protest the closure of the Rafah border between Egypt and Gaza. So he just went and he put a lock on the gate. And the staff, they went hysterical, and they knew that, okay, after an hour or so, in a short period of time, that lock will be broken and they can exit again. But imagine that's just for an hour or two. Now you speak of 660 days moving forward, and you're still locked and trapped in this particular Israeli open-air prison. And it's not like they want to exit. They are there to stay. And in fact, they were offered to go out, but they've recognized that this is important. Because once they leave, then there's no door. There's no way to get to Masjid al-Aqsa, because now Gaza has been this flag, or it's been this this group of people, this place which is holding the flag of Palestine alive. And it's really caused much of a conflict for the Kuffar, because you've seen the BBC, they've also been forced to change their tone. I've seen just this morning before we connected with you, Mufti Saab, we played Piers Morgan. He was being slashed by one of the proactive Palestinians. He was one of the proactive Palestinians, and he was screaming on the death, death to the IDF. And so Piers Morgan's, he really felt, offended that why are you using such words? You can criticize, but don't say death, death to the IDF. And we felt it strange that he's actually still defending them. Because after you can kill Christians in a church, which was never heard of from the Muslims, to go in and just open and kill, open fire on even Christian worshippers. And though that we will oppose them, and Quran Sharif opposes their beliefs and that, but this kind of just going out and killing openly, that is not Islam, which the West, more or less, they want to portray this to be Islam, which is far from it, actually. So over the weekend, we've heard
back about that church. That church was always in contact once a week with the Pope. Okay, so it's amazing that the Christians are not outraged about that. Because they feel that the churches over there go back to the time of Isa alayhi salam. Okay, and they believe that he was born over there. And these like the first churches. And the Israelis bombed it.
Mm.
And but there's no outrage in America.
Mm.
Or any other Christian country. The Pope had some, you know, some words to say about it. But aside from him, no one else talked about it.
Mm.
So it's a genocide that's going on. It's spreading. It's in Lebanon. It's all over the place. And no one's saying anything except a few.
Mm.
There are some, you know, common people. The states, the different states are getting together like they got together with Corona. Okay, and suppressing all opposition. Okay, people oppose the Corona vaccine, and you know, WHO and all the governments said no, they don't believe in the fake news. You know, this is science. You have to take the jab and everything. And now Israel is committing genocide. And you can't even complain about it. They can shoot children in the head, babies. They're just shooting babies in the head and killing them. And no one is protesting about it. The Mehdi Hassan, he was interviewing some American right-wing fanatics. And he asked him straight, is it justifiable for the IDF to shoot Palestinian babies in the head? And he asked the person five times. The person never answered the question.
Mm.
And the person wanted to go into a different direction. So then finally the person said that, well, yeah, they're being brainwashed. The children are being brainwashed, okay, by their parents. Yeah, by their parents. To destroy Israel and this and that. So Mehdi asked him again. So you're saying that it's justified? And the guy he wouldn't say yes, but that was his answer. So there was 19 other people with that person on his side, and none of them raised their hand. At least they had a little shame. And, you know, we can't agree with that. But the Christians. Well, the atheists, the non-Muslims, they started these protest groups in England, and the protest groups are now considered terrorist groups, and Britain will arrest you if you help them, if you support them, if you wear their colors, if you give money to them, you can go to jail. So it's okay for the IDF to kill. It's okay for Israel to occupy and kill the people of the country.
Hmm.
But if you stand up and just speak about it, you're considered a terrorist and you'll go to jail, even though you're a British citizen in Britain. That's how it is. It's, no one's ever seen anything like this before. Right? In World War II, when people looked at what was happening to the Jews, everybody, you know, got on the same page. And, oh, this is not right. Yeah, America should get in the war. Yeah, we should try to help them. Why is Hitler doing all these bad things? No one's saying why the IDF is doing all this. They're just allowing them to do it. And when Benjamin, Shaitan, when he comes to America, all the politicians stand and take pictures with him and shake his hands and want to be with him.
Hmm.
All right, and the guy's a war criminal. He's a war criminal.
100%.
So amazing.
Hmm. And just when you were supposed to go in, and this Monday and Tuesday, he was supposed to go to the Jerusalem District Court, and he was supposed to serve and present his testimony there. But guess what? Once again, he called in sick and said he had food poisoning. So now his lawyer contacted the Jerusalem District Court, and they said, you know what, he won't make it Monday and Tuesday over the weekend. They contacted the court and said, he won't make it. Can we postpone it? So the court said, look, we can't postpone it for later in the week. We're just canceling it. Not postponing it, we canceling it, and maybe it will, we'll see in September or something. So there's no, like, even as you're mentioning, there's no concern to even take this mighty, or what will you say, coward rather, because he can't face, he's there undercover, he goes underground under his home when there's any attacks or anything close by. His shirt has never been stained with any blood or any of that sort. So they, just like when they killed these Christians at the and in the church, then he just went there and just said, we apologize. So apologizing since when? Now look at the justice of Islam. Islam says apology is not going to work. You killed someone, you killed something, you killed an animal, you killed, and this was intentionally, you can't say it was a mistake. What mistake was there? You've got such sophisticated weapons, and it can hit directly the target which you want to knock. You want to knock a person, you want to knock a building, you want, it's directed targets. So you can't just say it's a mistake. But he just goes there and says, we apologize, and the world is happy with his apology statement. But these are lives, and this is what Islam honors. Islam honors Muslims. Islam honors human life, because that's a potential Muslim of the future. Even an animal, we know about Mulana Wasila Rahmatullah Alayh. I've never learned animal rights like we've learned from our Kabirin. You speak of Majlis and you speak of his harsh tone, Mulana A.S. Desai Hafidullah. But a mouse which was trapped in the roof, he didn't use a mouse trap because he said he didn't want to harm the mouse. So when you have that kind of concern, not just for humans, for animals, for that slight creature which you consider to be something that is quite small, and you perhaps feel that it doesn't serve any purpose for yourself, but Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it for a specific purpose. So as you've mentioned, Mufti Saab, there's no real concern. Their hearts have just become dead and hard. And we've seen this just this past Friday. Israeli settlers slaughtered dozens of sheep. Not only slaughtered them, slaughtered seems to be some nice way of doing something, but they didn't just slaughter them. They beat and stole several others. So what, as you've mentioned, the children, what did they do that they need to be shot in the head? Animals, what did they do? Are they also anti-Semitic, or what's the reason there? So the reason they give is that these sheep, these livestock, are serving as a means of living for those who are staying in the West Bank. So that's why they've attacked the sheep. So it goes beyond any normal understanding. That is why Allah Azza wa Jal says that these people, first Allah says, Ulaikakal an'am, they are like cattle. But Allah says, Balhum adal, they're even worse than cattle. Verse that
at least cattle know who their Lord is.
Exactly.
Right? Even a dog knows who his Lord is. But these people, they don't, they think that they're a Lord. They give an excuse about, well, it was an accident. How can you say it was an accident? But every time you kill a leader of Hamas, or you kill a leader in Iran, a general or something like that, in a house, in a different country, okay, you send the bomb or the missile directly in there, and the building is full of people, but the missile hits that person directly. Mm. Okay, but when it comes to shooting a church, oh, it was an accident. Well, wait a minute, how come you were so precise? You know, you could go to different, you go to Afghanistan and shoot somebody on the third floor in room number three, all right, and hit him exactly, okay, and everybody else, well, you know, well, there'll be collateral damage, but you hit right on. So how can you shoot at a church and say, oh, it was an accident? Mm. How can you say that?
Mm. Mufti Saab, there's something else which we just need to touch on here. In this title of this headlines, it says here, just let me get it, it's on MSN News. So here it says that U.S. funding cuts Mozambican children. U.S. funding cuts for Mozambique, and children died, And the question is, who bears responsibility? So this kind of headlines and titles, it's actually pushing our minds to believe, and that's what Trump ideally wants. He wants to shove his weight everywhere. And I like what the president of Brazil said. He said, Trump, you were elected to govern the U.S. You are not elected to be the emperor of the world. So continue what you're doing in the U.S. Don't come and cause all this corruption in the world and shove your weight. Those added words, I'm just paraphrasing. But this kind of weight which he seeks to shove around the world, making it sort of like we must all be dependent on the U.S. So U.S. decides to cut the funds in Mozambique, children are dying, and they put the question, who bears responsibility? So a message to Mozambique, a message to our country, South Africa, a message to Pakistan, a message to all the countries in the world. Why can't we just do away with the U.S.? Why do we need to, in fact, we're speaking on this, and someone wrote a beautiful article here in South Africa saying how this can be a plus for us with all these tariffs being shoved upon us. Because we do not need to export to them. And I explained this yesterday to the listeners. It's much like you've got a shop. Your country is a shop. And the more you sell to your customers, you get happy. So that's where the interest and the worry concern is, that our selling to the U.S. is going to decrease, or it's just going to add so much of complications in making profit for those who are selling. But why do we have to support them? Why can't we now focus ourselves within our country, support local products, purchase, increase the selling and buying, purchasing of local products, and keep the money within? And that's what you see many countries which grow, they grow due to this year. So this dependency on the U.S. constantly, and they get happy and elated that we cut funds, so they make you dependent on them. So they give you this money. I come to you, Mufti Sahab, I'm saying, you know what, take this money. You are such a kind human being. Just take it. It's for you. And you go around, you start speaking greatly of me, what a generous person I am in that. And then 6 months down the line, I say, Mufti Sahab, remember all those months I gave you that money? Now I'm cutting it from you. And now see, because you've become sort of dependent on that money. So Allah is giving us the solution. Be dependent on Him solely. And that's where we're failing here.
Yeah, well, we've always been failing. America, they took over from Britain. Britain's empire was one that was, they said the sun didn't set on the British Empire. They were controlling in Australia, they were controlling in India, all over the world. But after World War II, that ended. Their reign ended about that time. And then they started pulling out of Africa, they pulled out of India and different places. So America took over. And America, the first thing they did was made their money, the world money. Okay, in Africa, in South Africa, I think you could get the dollar bills, huh? Dollar bills are available there, right? Just like here in Pakistan, dollar bills are here. As a matter of fact, they're more desired than the Pakistani currency. Okay, this is why it's very important that BRICS succeeds. Okay, all those other countries that are coming together to make a one currency, or at least when they do business with each other, they do business with their local currencies and not American currency. That's the beginning, okay? And then, like you're just saying, keep your products in your country and sell it within your country. You don't have to sell it to America, because America has nothing to give back to you other than a dollar, okay? And now you become dependent on the dollar, okay? When you sell to America, you're going to sell in dollar, right? When you get money from them, you'll get dollar. You're not going to get South African rand. You're not going to get that. America goes, just like the rest of the West, England, Germany, and the rest, they're in Africa, and they're in Asia, but they're telling the people that, you know, your countries are poor, we're here to help you. So if we're so poor, then why are you here? Okay, why don't you just do all your business with England and Germany and France and like that if we're so poor? But Africa can furnish the whole world. Everything is in Africa. Fruits, vegetables, rice, minerals, oil, gas. Okay, everything is there. So it's not a poor country. The people are poor. All right, but the country is not poor. The country is rich, and the West comes to take advantage of it. They arbitrarily make your money low, make Pakistan's money low. Okay, so they can take the resources from your country at a very cheap price in exchange for dollar. And the dollar's not backed by anything; it's just a piece of paper. Okay, so America stays on top. They have the biggest appetite. When we get off, we look at Google, the amount of population in America is like 300 million compared to the rest of the world. What percentage are they? It says something like 2% of the world or something like this. But yet they use, I think, 20 or 30% of the oil in the whole world. They consume it. America has a very greedy appetite. Okay, their lifestyle is very high, and in order for it to be maintained, they have to take advantage of other countries. Okay, because you don't find the natural resources in America. Okay, and the only thing America has to offer is their paper.
Well said.
It's a piece of paper.
I just now, as you were speaking, Muftisab, I said, because I recall just recently, it was in Russia that they have decided to sort of not scrap the dollar, but at least when they dealing with import and export payments, then they will use their own currency. And they've released the statement, and you can see it, any listener can check it on the Moscow Times, where their currency overtakes dollar in Russian export payments. So it is possible. And as you've mentioned, we can't do it. They have nothing else to offer but the US dollar. As you were speaking, I was just looking at my keyboard here, and I'm seeing if it wasn't for the number 4 sign attached with this dollar sign, we would be forced to take out the dollar. What's it doing on our keyboard? I'm here in South Africa. It's supposed to show an R for rands. But as you said,
right,
this is the whole brainwashing that they do.
Just like who controls the banks? The Zionists, all right? The Jews, all right? So they control America, and they control what America does, all right? It's the same thing, and so they do it through the dollar, all right? The Rothschilds.
Muftisab, it's just hit 9 o'clock. Jazakumullah khairan for your time and your valuable input. Inshallah, we'll meet you tomorrow. And then Thursday we'll do that same period, the same stretch, 8:30 to 9, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.